Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Four Oaks in Fall Branch, Tennessee, KFKSport.com presents Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? With your host, Gulf Coast Wrestling Reunion, and Cauliflower Alley Club honoree, Bojang.
Happy Holy Week to all the believers out there, and welcome to Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? Bo James here with you. Another special program this week as I have taken some audio from my three-disc set of Memories of a Superstar that I did along with Superstar Bill Dundee about his life and career a few years ago, where we covered his career from the beginnings in Australia all the way up to what he's doing now. And this week we're going to take a look at 1983 in Tennessee wrestling. If you're a fan of the 605 podcast like I am with Brian Lass and David Bixenspan, you've heard them the last couple of weeks talk about what was going on in Memphis in 1983. Bill Dundee and I cover all the details in the DVD set, but I want to take this audio and I want you to hear just a little bit about what he has to say about Jerry Jarrett and Ole Anderson, what led to the split crew and some of them going to Chattanooga and trying to open up a new territory out of Chattanooga that would cover East Tennessee and Georgia. If you have already ordered the DVD set from KingOfKingsport.com, you also know that several matches are inserted during this audio. Matches handpicked by Bill Dundee himself. So what I want to do right now is get our break in. We're going to come back and start off 1983 as Bill Dundee tells you how Jim Cornette got started in the wrestling profession.
Are you looking for classic Southern Wrestling DVDs from the days of promoter Nick Gulas, Southeastern Wrestling, or Continental Wrestling? How about DVDs from Southern States Wrestling featuring the Legends of the Ring and some of today's top stars? Maybe you are looking for the three-disc set of Bill Dundee's career and memories, or the two published books by Bo James about his life in wrestling. Keep up with the careers and life away from the ring of the award-winning Dynamic Wrestling James duo. All of this and a lot more at KingOfKingsport.com. That's KingOfKingsport.com.
Superstar Bill Dundee, Bo James here with you. I've known Bill since 1988. I grew up being a fan of Bill Dundee. He's a hero. Turned teacher, turned friend.
Thank you.
And we're here together. We're talking about your career, talking about your book. We're going to show it here in a minute and plug that. Now, in the first part of this series, we talked about 75, well, really the beginning in 62 in Australia, then you came here in 75, up until the end of 1982. Now, we're going to talk about 1983 because a lot of things change in the Tennessee area and Louisiana area, and we're going to get all that in a minute. But I want to talk about the guy that's going to be very important in the next few years here, Adrian Street, with his valet, Miss Linda. Now, they came in at the end of 1982, and they started the little program with you. You guys were having matches. Even got the referee involved, or he was your partner against Linda. And then also they were being managed by another young guy that you helped get started, and he's going to be very important about what's going on the rest of this year. James E. Cornette, the Louisville Lip, Jim Cornette himself. Now, before we get Adrian and Linda, how did Jim Cornette get started in Jarrett promotion?
Jarrett promotion? This is a true story. Jerry Jarrett did not like Jimmy Cornette. Jimmy Cornette, when he was 16, used to take pictures. And his mother was best buds with Jarrett's mother. And she would come to Louisville Gardens. Tini run Louisville Gardens at the night of the wrestling. And Jimmy had an answer for everything. If you said something, Jimmy knew about it. If you said, and Jerry Jarrett said to me, what he said, I can't stand that son of a bitch. He said, he has an answer for everything. Doesn't matter what you're talking about, he knows about it. He said, you think we could get him in the wrestling business? He said, and maybe if the fans hated him as much as I do, they may kill him. And he said it in a joking kind of way, but you have to know Jerry Jarrett.
Right.
He's deadly serious. I said, you've ribbon, ain't you? He said, no, let's ask his mother. So he went and said, hey, could we get Jimmy in the wrestling business? So I really don't know.
Well, most people are trying to get in. It was very hard to break in at that time. Here you got Jerry Jarrett asking, can we have him?
Yeah, and she said yeah, and she bought him a car and put him on the road, and he turned the car over, and we thought that'll be the end of him. He run it in a ditch, and it just flipped over sideways. Nobody got hurt. It just kind of went off into the grass, and we thought, oh, well, she'll take him home now. This is the end of this. But no, she let him stay, got him a bigger car, and Jimmy was different. He was a smart, intelligent kid, but he was a know-it-all, still is a know-it-all, and I liked him. I mean,
I liked him too.
You know, and I got along good with him. You just had to know him. You know, so I don't really know if Jared actually meant that, but
that's what he said.
And that's how he got in and made a lot of money at it.
Yeah. So, why was, for Cornette's first people to manage, now he went through things trying to get Dutch, trying to get you, trying to get Lawler. He wanted to manage all the top guys, but he ends up with Apocalypse. And Mike Boyette, which is a very strange character in himself, and I never knew Mike, but I've heard stories about him.
You didn't know Mike?
No, I never knew him, but I've heard a lot of stories about
him. I'll tell you some off camera.
Yeah, and I do know Adrian and Linda, who are wonderful people, extremely tough people, too.
Yes.
We talk about wrestling and holds and all that stuff. Now, but Jimmy just did not seem to fit with those two guys. Why was that meshed together?
Well, Hart had all he could handle. I mean, we had Jimmy Hart loaded to the gills.
He still had the first family.
And we had hired Cornette, and we had something to do with him.
Yeah.
So then Linda, you know, Street came right from Canada to here. We hired him, you know, he called, and we brought him in, and I went and met him the first time
he came in. Did you know them? Now, they're English, and you were born in Scotland but raised in Australia. So did you know them before?
I knew of them. Yeah, he was on TV when, you know, I told you, TV was on from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. He wasn't the character you see here.
Right.
But he was a character, and he was Adrian Street.
Okay.
And I knew who he was, yeah.
Okay. So when he called you, of course,
on in. And then the exotic part he had added along the way, the pigtails that he had in the face paint and all the things that he did. He's a very talented guy. He wrote a book before anybody else.
Yeah,
did.
He had an album out before anybody else.
Had an album out, singing. And he wasn't a bad singer. And he painted. Very talented man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then Cornette, we needed something for him to do. And we thought, well, we'll just put him with exotic Adrian. And then we had Boyette. Was a strange character, as you have said.
Right.
Wow, was he strange. One time Nick Gould said, this is a true story, we're at TV in Nashville, and we're doing interviews, and Nick's looking at Boyette, and he said, hey, Boyette, he said, have you been on them marijuana pills? Your eyes are all red. Nick thought you took pills. That's another story.
He probably took pills, too.
He wasn't taking marijuana pills. So anyway, Nick thought it was in pill form. But anyway, you're right. It was a strange combination. We had Apocalypse, who shot bows and arrows and all kinds of things. And we had exotic Adrian Street and Miss Linda. And we had Jimmy Cornette that had never been out of Louisville, Kentucky.
Now, we're 30 years later. You can tell the truth. Did you like it when Adrian kissed you? Now, that was something new for Memphis. Memphis had had mummies and they had.
I promise you, it was something new being kissed by a man. I promise you.
So we'd had Dr. Frank. We'd had the mummy. We had had endless accounts of monsters, but we had never had an exotic Adrian Street or anything close to him before.
But he was real. I mean, Adrian Street was. He was a character, and he was a figment of Adrian Street's imagination. He made the exotic part because that wasn't really how he was in real life. I mean, him and Linda was married.
Linda was a very accomplished wrestler herself.
Right, and a tough individual.
Yeah.
I mean, Linda would fight you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So, and we had an abundance of talent, you know, with a lot of young guys coming in.
Jesse Barr was new. You still got the Fabs on the roll.
The Moondogs are coming.
But we got a lot of young guys. Bobby Fulton. And Tommy Rogers. They're not put together yet.
No.
But later become the Fantastics. Yeah. We'll get to that shortly. Dr. Tom Pritchard's getting ready to come to Memphis. He was just Tommy Pritchard then. Cowboy Frankie Lane, he was a very experienced.
In and out.
He was in and out of there. But you got a lot of young guys. And one guy that caught your attention real fast was a guy by the name of Terry Taylor.
Right.
And he had been there at the end of '82 teaming with Jacques Rougeau, and they'd had some
going nowhere.
Yeah.
Because so, Jacques was hard to do business with.
But so they're there.
Let me tell you a funny story. Father says to Jacques Rougeau one day, we're sitting in the dressing room, and he said, Jacques, he said, I wasn't bad mad at you out there tonight. And Jack said, looked at Father dead serious, and he said, let me tell you something, a bigger boy. Don't push me too hard, I get over you. 2 weeks later, Jacques was gone.
He was gone. He's back to Montreal.
He was back to Montreal. You don't tell the Booker and Pot owner, I get over you, bigger boy.
So now, a whole big change is coming here. Since the beginning of 75, you came in short time, rule breaker, heel, nobody liked you and all that. But then you became the superstar.
And they loved me.
You loved you.
The girls were lining up.
You became that end of Tennessee, that territory there, you became the number one guy.
Right.
They loved you. They believed in you. They banked on everything you said because you didn't lie to them.
No.
You delivered. If I lose, I shave my head.
Right.
My wife loses, I shave her head.
Yeah.
Now we're going to see a new Bill Dundee because Terry Taylor's a Southern heavyweight champion. He's got the attention of Bill Dundee. Bill's kind of getting a little bit jealous here. So you have the matches with Dundee and Terry Taylor, and you end up cheating to win the Southern heavyweight title back. Now, was this a change of, okay, we've got all these young, good-looking guys here. We got Jimmy Hart. We need something new on this side.
Right. Or trying to shock the people.
Trying to shock the people. And they did that almost every week in Memphis. They shocked me. Even when I was working there, I got shocked.
So they paid you. They gave you a check right there. Yeah.
So now we got Bill Dundee, and he goes into 3 weeks of wrestling with Terry Taylor. The crowd is still kind of split. Now, why do you think that is? It's just they believed in you so much they didn't want to believe you were bad.
Kind of like Lawler used to say, I hate wrestling you because it's a split crowd. I mean, everybody's not going to boo Lawler if he switches. They're not going to boo me. You're still going to have your fans. And Terry Taylor, he's a good-looking guy. Yeah. A lot of women liked him, and men too. I mean, and Bill Dundee all had his fans. So, it's split. It's hard to switch after you've been there a long time.
So now
they banned me. They sent me off.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
So now Terry Taylor, and you jump right from there where you beat Taylor for the title, and you keep it 2 straight weeks. He really never got the chance to even get it back. You tie him up in the ropes, and here comes Dutch Mantell. Now, really, over the years, I guess you had crossed paths, and Dutch had been there, but there never had really been a Bill Dundee Dutch Mantell series of matches until this point in 1983.
He hadn't really done a series with anybody. He hadn't been with Lawler yet either, had he?
In 82. He just did the thing with Lawler.
Gotcha.
So now he's with you in 83, and you bring back the scaffold match.
Yeah.
And also we'll get to that to another
board with match.
Yeah. But you shocked a lot of people because Dutch was the master of the bullwhip.
After I taught it.
All of a sudden, Bill Dundee is on TV.
There's another thing Bill never got credit for. Didn't have a clue what to do with that whip till I got my real one. He had a $10 whip, and he used to cart it to the ring. And I said, Dutch, if you're going to have one, we need to get you a real one. And we got him a real one. And then we showed him how to use it and all them other things. And brother, when we were in them bullwhip matches, he had no idea how to work with it. He couldn't see you for one thing.
Yeah.
I said, please, Dutch, that hurts. But here's the secret of a bullwhip match. You can't run away from the end of the whip. You have to go to the whip.
Yeah.
Well, so I would start to go towards Dutch. He would start to back up. Well, when you back up, you're at the end of the whip again. I said, God damn, Dutch, stand still. You know, because you're trying not to be hit with the end of it. That's the part that hurts you.
Yeah.
So you have to learn how to do that. And we kind of invented that in Tennessee. We're kind of proud of that. It's the only place we had one, me and Dutch.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dutch had him Wendell Cooley in Alabama and Knoxville.
Oh, yeah. He copied Bill Dundee. A lot of people copied Bill Dundee.
He said that, Dutch, not me. All right, we're looking at 1983. First Terry Taylor, now Dutch Mantell. Now you got some steam on you. The people are starting to hate you again. You've turned all the old fat women, all the old women, all the pretty young girls, all the guys. Everybody has turned on Bill Dundee and Bill Dundee.
I don't think the pretty ones ever turned on David.
Oh, really? So we saw Lawler there at the end get involved in the bullwhip match.
Yeah, he came down.
So now it's Lawler and Dundee. They've been waiting on. See, this is a thing that people are misinformed about. They think it was always Lawler and Dundee, but there was always long breaks in between.
Right.
It wasn't nonstop forever.
But we never really got disconnected from one another.
Right.
There was long breaks, but something would happen a little bit, then we would keep going.
Yeah. Either we'd be back together or you'd be a team together.
Or we'd just say something smart to one another. Right. But we kept the dig going.
Yeah. Now, you have one match with Lawler. You beat him. You keep the belt. People think this is the beginning of a good series, Lawler, Dundee. Here we go. The very next week is Loser Leave Town. Bill Dundee, Jerry Lawler. Only 1 week and then the Loser Leave. And we're going to get to the reason why you left and all that there. Now, was this set up to be 2 weeks, or was it going to be longer, and then all of a sudden this plan came in for Chattanooga and, okay, we got to do it now? Because it seems very rushed.
How I got banished to Chattanooga, I really don't know. I mean, that was really none of my idea. As far as Jerry Jarrett came to me and said, Ole Anderson needs help. Well, Ole Anderson was on Channel 17, as we all know, right, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I said, "Oh, that's great. We'll be on Channel 17. Wrong. We got Chattanooga, first show, for four people still sitting watching. He didn't even advertise it. You know, he never did nothing to help us.
Yeah.
So Ole talked to Jarrett. Jarrett talked to me, and he said, this would be a good break for you. He said, you know, Lawler was coming on the summer.
Yeah.
Lawler was always brought 30 guys in here, and he fills it up with guys, and he books it. And then when he runs out of things to do for the summer, 12 weeks, it's deader than Kelsey's doodads, and Jerry Jarrett and Bill Dundee would get it back and would have 10, 12 guys for the winter, and we'd run with them.
So
he says, why don't you go and give it a shot?
So we're getting ready for Chattanooga, but one of the highest-rated programs, not only in Memphis. This grew one of the biggest shares of any program anywhere in the country, I would believe.
The TV?
The TV building to the Loser Leave. And
it was 64 share every week in the 17 ratings.
But this one,
was way over
the word had got out. They're building to this is, one of them is going to leave.
Right.
So they did a special to where they pretty much canceled all the matches, except you had a match. The Rock and Roll had a match early in the program because they were getting them ready. Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, they had a fast match at the beginning. You had a short match. Lawler had a short match. The rest of the time, it was you guys, Lance Russell, and Eddie Marlin talking about this Loser Leave Town.
Right.
And it was never boring. Now they talk for 30 minutes on TV, and I could care less what anything said.
Yeah.
But they hung on every word. The people in the audience and the people watching, and they went back and they recaptured history, and they showed different footage, and then they got the ideas from Handsome Jimmy and Jimmy Hart and Dutch, who's going to win, who's going to lose, who's going to do this.
Like it was a shoot.
Right. But they always delivered. Harry was gone. This guy left. They had always delivered. So the people of Memphis knew one of them's leaving.
Right.
But not only did you do it in Memphis, you did it in Lexington, Louisville, Evansville.
Yeah.
You did it in all the towns.
The whole week did about $160,000, I think. But that was a lot of money back then.
With $5 tickets.
Yeah.
$5, $4, and $3 tickets.
$160,000, and Jerry Jarrett kept $100,000.
He said that not
me. He did, yeah. True, though. But anyway, so... Maybe paid Uncle. I know, we're not getting into that.
To me, this is one of my favorite matches of all time from anywhere. Two of my favorite people, even Lawler. I know you. But to even make it more important, when you went to the arena, the other wrestlers came and sat at ringside and they watched.
Right.
And the people, the whole focus was on this.
Yeah, we made it bigger than life, and it was bigger
than life.
The two biggest guys, stars that had been there in 20 years, one of them was leaving.
Right, and they knew that, and what I want to do, I want to show this match, because this is all-time classic. I think this match holds up now. It held up then, 20 years before that.
100 years from now.
And it will hold up 100 years from now.
People.
All right, there was the Loser Leave. Now, you just said a minute ago you were banished.
Banished. I wasn't really banished. I mean, Jarrett came and talked to me. He said, Ole Anderson need help. He's going, Channel 17 is going up north, and that's what they're doing, that big...
They went to Huntington, West Virginia, Saginaw, Michigan.
Yeah. They had
Dayton, Ohio. They were doing huge business.
They had successfully killed Georgia, and that's true.
So they had opened up. So really, they had a territory in Michigan and Ohio, but they were just doing the TV in Atlanta.
Right.
Other than the Omni.
And then they wanted to try to build the towns back up. I mean, the no-shows and the people showing up with things different. They had killed the town. I mean, people had lost interest in Atlanta wrestling or all through Georgia. So we went down there to help Ole try to get it back.
So you're going to do a TV in
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga. which had been successful. Nick Gulas did TV
for years. Forever. It was successful.
So
you same TV channel,
same
Nick
station,
had.
Same.
So it wasn't the TV channel; it was a good channel.
Right. So you're going to take over. You're going to put the talent together, and you take young guys, Bobby Fulton, Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
The first run is the Fantastics.
The Fantastics, yeah.
You bring Ken Wayne under the mask as the Stray Cats.
Yeah. King Carol Fergie is Carl Fergie.
And then you bring
Norman Charles in as the Norman Charles III.
And then the Angel, Frank Morrell.
Frank Morrell, the Angel. The Big Bounty Hunter.
The Novak.
Cornette managing.
And you bring Cornette, which this is now Jimmy Cornette's first time to shine.
Right.
This is his first where he's the main focus.
Be the main focus. So we take him down there. Ole doesn't even tell the people on Atlanta TV or any other TV that we will be in Chattanooga that first week.
Right.
We'll say, we'll show the tape.
We'll show it.
Okay, we'll show the tape. Ole Anderson, you son of a... You could have at least told the people we're going to be coming, but he didn't. He just let us fend for ourselves, me and Ronnie West, show up with a crew.
I want to say this. Ronnie West is another guy that does not get enough credit for everything that he's done.
Yeah, he's very smart in the wrestling business. And Ronnie was good. If people were stealing money out of the box offices, Ronnie would come in and find him, and then you'd be gone. So that's what they used him for a lot of times. Barnett
was a troubleshooter.
Yeah, a troubleshooter. But he was very good at angles and gimmicks and refereeing and all the things that he did.
Yeah.
He was very talented in the wrestling business. And him and I went down there together to... trying to get help Ole.
Now,
but Ole didn't know how to help himself.
Right. So they give you Chattanooga on Saturday.
Right.
I guess you went to Macon, Columbus during the week,
and
Savannah.
All the towns.
So you went to those towns.
Yeah.
So the only thing Ole's concentrating on in the state of Georgia is Atlanta.
He's running the Amney with his crew, and they're leaving and going up north.
Okay. They give you no advertising budget. They give you
nothing.
You just got to get out there, get it done,
and do what we got
and run it.
And just... You know, and it was embarrassing. I mean, we went down there, and we're used to Memphis, and people screaming and hollering. We get down there, and there's three old ladies and two kids in the audience. I mean, it was embarrassing. But we went out there and battled through it.
But also, it didn't take long for people to catch on.
No, we got it going and started watching. If you see from the first tape to the kind of the last tape, the studio was full when we got it going. And the towns were starting to come up. Only we just walked in one day and said, we're not doing this no more. And pulled the plug.
So now, they're gone. You're gone. Your crew's gone. But they kept doing the show. Les Thatcher went back to Chattanooga and hosted it, and they just used the guys off Channel 17 in Atlanta, and they showed a lot of tapes, and Les put a show together for there. But they just didn't want the Tennessee guys in Tennessee. Chattanooga of all places.
I mean, whatever they were doing. I have no clue. I have no clue why I went there. I have no clue why Jerry Jarrett said. I just did what he asked, and I went.
Eight weeks, two months.
Here's the thing. 83, when that same crew went down to Louisiana and set the place on fire.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in just
Ole
a second.
Ole Anderson just shot himself in the foot. Because he could have had it if he had just hanged there a little longer. Or give us some help, Bobby Stevie.
Do you think he didn't understand?
Didn't have a clue. He didn't know
what you were trying to do.
Showbiz, he had no clue. When he wanted to see Exotic Adrian Street before he would let him on the TV, he said, "Man, what the hell do you think the guy is?
Yeah,
he's a freaking wrestler.
Right.
He probably beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, really? I mean, Street was only short, but he could wrestle.
And Adrian actually.
And I don't know if only could wrestle. He was just a big tough dude, they say it. I know. I never saw him wrestle nobody.
So Adrian shows up actually the last week that you're in charge
of
Chattanooga.
Yeah.
So he'd moved there, and now he's got nowhere to go.
Yeah. But I think, did Ole keep him around Atlanta for a little
while? No, he went to Charlotte.
I know he went somewhere, and then we got him back for, you know.
So now all the young guys, they go back to Memphis.
Right.
But none of them had lost the loser league or anything. They just left.
I'm in the cold.
So now you're in the cold. One year they'd advertised in Memphis, one year... loser leave. You only got 2 months. You got 10 months, and you're sitting at home figuring out. So they got to bring you back, and they did a great.
Or pay you.
It wouldn't have been bad if they'd have paid you for 10 months.
Nobody suggested that.
Maybe you should have suggested.
Yeah.
You just call them up. Go, just send me a check, and I'll stay home.
There you heard some Tennessee wrestling history. 1983, as Bill Dundee talked about. The opening and closing of the Chattanooga territory, which was going to run weekly in Knoxville and Georgia towns and Chattanooga, and it only lasted 8 weeks, and Ole Anderson pulled the plug after seeing Jim Cornette out there holding his little puppy dog. And as I said earlier, if you want to hear the complete history of what he was talking about and also see the matches that he talked about in there, go to kingofkingsport.com and buy the 3-DVD set of Memories of a Superstar with Bo James and Bill Dundee. Or you can get them from Bill Dundee also anywhere you see him live at the matches. Bill always has them on his table. So go over there and make sure you pick them up from Bill if you see him. Or go over to kingofkingsport.com and hit that PayPal button and I'll be glad to ship one right to your house. The matches were handpicked. We go month by month, year by year through Dundee's career, talk about a lot of stuff that a lot of wrestling people do not remember or never knew about. And Bill does not pull any punches as he tells it the way he sees it. And there's a few times in there that I have to stop and go, hey, Bill said that, not me. So once again, kingofkingsport.com or wherever you see Bill Dundee live in your area. Now, Bill's book is also out there. You heard that mentioned in there. It's been out a few years. It is a great read. Bill Dundee is one of the most interesting people that I have ever came across. Born in Scotland, raised in Australia, and ended up being a Tennessean most of his life. So if you want to get Bill's book, go to bill-superstar-dundee-enterprises.com or also at Amazon. That's bill-superstar-dundee-enterprises.com or amazon.com. Make sure you tell Bill you heard about his book and heard about the DVD right here on Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? Over 50 years in the ring, and the man is still going. He looks great. He's in great shape, and he's always there ready to go when he gets in the ring. Speaking about getting in the ring, this Saturday night in East Ridge, Tennessee, right there beside Chattanooga, 410 Scruggs Road, East Ridge, Tennessee. Misty and Bo James, the Dynamic James Wrestling Duo, make our debut for Ultimate Extreme Wrestling this Saturday night, March the 26th, 8 o'clock bell time, right outside of Chattanooga. Friday night, April 8th, Spring Fling 2016, a big night of wrestling at the Meigs County High School in Decatur, Tennessee. Headlined by a Battle Royal, it's going to feature the head football coach of the high school. Also on the card, the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson. Jim Cornette is going to be there. Stan the Man Lee, Joe Kazana, and the Dynamic James Wrestling Duo. That's Meigs County High School, Friday night, April the 8th, in Decatur, Tennessee, 7:30 bell time, all seats only $10. Going to be a big night, and we're raising money for the high school there. So come on out if you're in Southeast Tennessee and check it out. It's going to be a big night. Like I said, Cornette's going to be there, and the Rock and Roll Express is going to be there. Big night of wrestling action. To keep up with everything that Misty and I have going on, make sure you follow us on social media, on Twitter, at King of Kingsport, and at MistyJames1. On Facebook, facebook.com/ProWrestlerBoJames and facebook.com/ProWrestlerMistyJames. Check out Misty's merchandise at CountryStrongMistyJames.blogspot.com. We have got to shorten that up and get her own .com. And of course, you can keep up with me at KingofKingsport.com. Lots of great DVDs on there. My three published books, that's right, three published books, is the history of Kingsport Wrestling is out. So get over there and get your book right now. Jim Cornette, I'm going to bring you and hand deliver yours when I see you in Decatur, Tennessee, coming up. That's KingofKingsport.com. Southeastern, Nick Gulas territory, Continental Territory, lots of rare DVDs on there, plus what you just listened to, the three-disc set of Memories of a Superstar from Bill Dundee. So make sure you check that out, kingofkingsport.com. Also, I've had a lot of people ask me about speaking in churches and stuff that I've got going on with ministry work, and you can go over to YouTube and just look up Ministry 29 Wrestling, and you can follow us on there. You can see where I've spoken some churches, and some wrestling videos and stuff are up on there. And if you want to keep up with my Classic Wrestling and Southern States Wrestling YouTube, that is youtube.com/KingofKingsport. Pretty easy to remember. Everything I've got is King of Kingsport just about. So thanks for listening this week. Thanks for listening every week. Lots of great feedback from not only this program, but the 605 Super Podcast that I've done with Brian Last and David Bixenspan. Make sure you check them out each and every week. They do great work over there talking about classic wrestling. Also, Chris Zeller. Me and him's working on doing the history of Continental on his exile on Bad Street, at Place to Be Nation. Check that out because we're getting ready here in just in the next few days. Tape part two of that. Part one is already up. Go over there and check it out as we cover the first year of Continental Wrestling. In the next episode, we're going to cover the second year of Continental Wrestling. I was also on Between the Sheets with Bix and Chris a few weeks ago. Check that out. And just keep on supporting these podcasts. Keep on supporting us here. We appreciate every bit of it. Make sure, once again, I know I keep saying it, but hey, folks, I got bills to pay. KingofKingsport.com. Check out all the merchandise there. Check out the merchandise on Misty's. And I'm going to end this week just like Mickey Barnes did for years and just like John Cazana did on his TV for years. Oh, Brother Ron, go out there and just talk until we run out of time. Do you want to be a wrestler, kid?
Yeah, I didn't do that. But I want to call your attention to the fact that them two men right there now, they're two of the top men in the world. Not just in Tennessee, not in the United States, not just in North America. They're the top two wrestlers in the world. And look at them now. Look at the good-hearted Greek down there. Up pampering them and bathing them and picking them up and helping tie them out of there. He ought to come down here and get him a set of pampers and take down there and pin on them. Because I tell you something, when me and my brother, when these same right brothers get done whooping these local loudmouth foreign idiots down here, that right there is exactly right to the T what you can expect after they get a good East Tennessee dog whooping put up on them.
Wait a minute, we're talking, you just be quiet. You're not even got a microphone.
You've not even got a microphone. Now you let my brother.
All right. I'll tell you what, that's only a tiny sample of what Ron and Don's going to do Friday night.
That ain't a poor excuse of a man.
I'll tell you what,
I've ever seen
these men, this Kent, this other Barner, if they're smart, they'll catch that jet and run down to South Carolina where we can't get them.
Yeah, amen, brother. Amen, brother.
We don't think, we know.
That's right. These right brothers, they've got as much confidence as we've got brain, and that's a whole basket full of them, brother. I'll tell you something. We put these men in here. We've whipped them. We followed them like street back alley fighting. We whipped them. We got them in there, and we've wrestled them like good, outstanding, upstanding, intercollegiate-style wrestlers that me and my brother are, and we whipped them. We whipped them every way that they wanted to try us in there. And they wasn't men enough to get up and walk out on their own 2 feet. Now come Friday night, if Kovacs and Kent don't come down there and give us those titles before, but now hush, I'm not done.
They only have about 2 minutes. Rocky Smith's head is hurt, so
yeah.
There'll be no more.
His whole body's hurting, brother. Let me tell you something. When Ron Wright whoops him, it ain't just a headache you've got, it's your whole body aching. Yeah. Take it easy, brother. Take it easy. Take it easy. We've done
them yet.
But Donnie, let me tell you something. Calm down. Calm down now. Son, don't you realize we've done brain whooped them out there. They've defeated. They're defeated. They've admitted defeat. And that's the worst kind of back alley, back yellow back cowardice defeated you can admit. They've come out here and admitted on TV.
Went downstairs and hid.
Wait,
they refused to come back
yeah,
out here.
That's what they've done. Now, listen, Jim. Come over here now and listen to me just a minute, Jim. Now, let me tell you something. You've seen how we put them boys up there and masterminded, brain whipped them and bodily whipped them up there. Now, Kent Kovacs has got enough guts and nerve to make it to Knoxville next Friday night and get up there in that ring with us. By the time we get done whooping them, brain whooping them, fist whooping them, head stomping them, and belly kicking them. They're not man enough to do nothing to the right brother. Yeah, just lay your mic down and hush. Now, if that Kent and Kovacs have got enough guts to come down here and show their puny, poor, ugly-looking, butchered-up face Friday night, the right brothers are going to be man enough to take them up there and dog whooping. The time they get out of there, they won't even be wrecked. Get them outside of the ring, and by the time they load them up in the ambulance, God bless, have mercy.
We're through.